Today, as we worship in our Advent season, we have been looking at the stories of Christmas in ways that would help us to receive what God wants for us, to help us to discern what God is doing in our church family. So let me invite you, if you would like to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 18. Matthew writes these words, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful songs that open our hearts every year to the message of your Son, of this Christmas story. Thank you for the ways that we celebrate this part of the year. Thank you for the newness and the freshness in which we encounter this story. Thank you for the ways that Christmas helps us to advance the kingdom of God. And Father, as we just hang out a little bit with Joseph this morning, we thank you for this man's story and the way he comes to the story and the way that his response to you, his response for Mary, his care for Jesus are so much part of what has happened in all of this. Thank you for inviting us to see his life, to get a sense of his heart, to catch perhaps his spirit. We thank you for these things and pray them in the name of Jesus, the one who is born to us. Amen. No doubt you could imagine how Joseph would feel at such peril, as he is about in his own mind to lose the woman that he had planned to formalize their marriage, the one that he had so deeply loved, the one that he had so many wonderful conversations and a great heart connection, the one with whom wonderful dreams had been shared, the one with whom his heart fluttered, the one with whom plans and preparations and save the date notices had been sent, the one with whom he was going to spend his life. And undoubtedly, as the predicament of the story swallows him up, who could possibly imagine his thoughts throughout the day? how he processed it in the evening, how he went about trying to think to himself, what do I do with this story? How do I honor the God whom I love and the woman whom I love, and yet find myself in this incredible, unpredictable, unforeseeable set of circumstances that rocks my world before we can finalize and consummate our marriage? And I can't imagine a day of trying to get through life the way that Joseph did. And yet, from another side of the story, God has already selected Mary and Joseph. God has sent an angel, Gabriel, to tell Mary what is going to happen, that she will conceive, and that which is in her is going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit. And it seems as if in the story some time elapses between that event and Joseph's incredible quandary. And Joseph was considering all of his options, undoubtedly. And Matthew says that after Joseph had considered these things, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and gave him the divine okay to not be afraid and take Mary home as his wife, and that a son was going to be conceived in her, and he would be Emmanuel. He would be Jesus. He will save us from our sins. And as Joseph heard the news, undoubtedly he, like Mary, must have thought, who conceives of ideas? Who comes up with this kind of stuff? How do plans like this, how do they unfold? How do we go public with this? How do we communicate this? How do we tell this story? How do we live this life? How do we live this marriage? How do we raise this son? Undoubtedly, a thousand things that seem so unanswerable, that seems so absolutely impossible. He just stood in the shadow of all of that and must have said, how do I do this? What do you expect me to do? What is this going to look like? And yet the angel of the Lord came, and the story unfolds. God was looking in this story, and we see it especially and particularly in Joseph, in the way the story about him is told. God was certainly looking for somebody who, regardless of how the story came out, regardless of how this thing was going to unfold, that through the storm of it all, through the valley of it all, through the night of it all, through the darkness of it all, a man whose heart would never let God go. A man who would wake up every single morning and give glory to God. A man who would continue to bow his heart before a living Lord, no matter how the story goes. A man who would not waver. A man who would stand in the presence of God and receive what God had for him. And God found that man in Joseph. And at the same time, God was looking for a man who would honor the story that would unfold in his future wife's life. A man who could honor God in the depth of this whole thing, and a man who would try to figure out in any way that he possibly could how to not dishonor the young woman whom he thought had dishonored him. It is amazing how this Joseph was able to stand in the presence of his God, was able to, even given what he knew about what was happening in Mary's life, continue to think about the life that she would have to have and resolve to himself he would always honor his God, he would never disgrace this woman. And God said, that's my man right there. That's that man right there.
mountains of issues to resolve. But there's my man right there, not wavering in his faith and totally dedicated in honoring a woman who is pregnant. He knows it's not his child. When all of that begins to come together, a beautiful thing happens in this story, a way of thinking about and entering this story that oftentimes is lost. And as we as family discern what God is saying, it's appropriate. What is God looking for? He's looking for people who will be stewards of his story, who will take care of his story. He is looking for people who would dare listen to what he is saying. He is looking for people who, like Zechariah, sometimes we just need to be quiet in his presence and listen to what the living God says. He is looking for people like Mary, who receives the Christmas story as a child inside of her, and the physicalness of that, and the messiness of all of that. He is looking for people like Joseph, who no matter what, you can count on him. He will always honor his God, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful, no matter how dark. He stands with the name of God on his lips, and he will always honor the woman he thinks he'll never have. And yet in the story, he will have for the rest of their married lives. What has God asked them to do? He has asked them, he has called them to be the stewards of heaven's gift, heaven's greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ. He's not called them to own Jesus. God does that. He has simply asked them to do what parents should always do, and realize that the children who come to us and the spouses that we have and the families from which we come are nothing other than gifts from God. And when a mother holds a child, this is sheer gift. And in this case, can you possibly imagine Mary holding Jesus as a baby, looking into his eyes and knowing full well that she holds the Son of God, that every breath he takes is a breath of heaven, that everything she does, every meal she prepares, is as if indeed she were preparing a meal for God himself. Every time she tucks him in bed at night and reads a story or says a prayer, it's as if she's talking to God in the flesh. Every time she takes his hand and says, we got to go to the store today, or it's time for you to go to school, she is leading the Son of God. And every time Joseph in his shop, can you imagine this? Every time Joseph says to Jesus as he's growing up, hey son, go get me the hammer. And Jesus brings him the hammer, and Jesus puts his tiny hand on that hammer, and Joseph puts his hands on top of Jesus and says, this is how you work with a hammer. Joseph just put his hand on God and showed him how to use a hammer. And every time Joseph said in the shop, just said the very name of Jesus, he said the very name to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. What was God looking for at Christmas? Same thing he's always been looking for. People who will receive the gift, know where the gift has come from, treasure the gift that is given. Handle it all as if every single moment of it, every single breath of it, every single ounce of it, every single day of it belongs to God and nobody but God. And realize that is the gift of life that God has given us. And He has called us to be stewards of all the incredible gifts that He has given us. The Christmas story is not just for Christmas. It is the story of who we are as a people of faith. Every single day you follow Jesus Christ, every single moment that you are doing kingdom work, every single thought, every single breath, every single thing about who we are as a people of God is an act of stewardship. It's very simple. We think stewardship is about money. Stewardship is about honoring and living the life that God has handed to us, not so that we can grasp it, but so that we can give it away, so that we can bless. And therein is the fullness of life. It is the majesty and the mystery, the beauty of the kingdom of God. In any other realm of life, we go about it as if the more we can grab, the more we can have. But in the kingdom, it's all different. It's all upside down. It's also very different than that. The more that we give away, the more heaven comes down. The more that we say, Lord, nothing is mine and all is yours, the more God shows up. It is the story of Christmas that we get to live day in and day out for all of our days. It was the story of Jesus the way that Paul told it in Philippians when he said, when he took upon him the form of flesh and he came down in humility, he didn't try to grasp a single thing. Not a single thing did he try to grasp. And he came in the form of a servant. And he did so even to the point of his death. That's stewardship. When God has a people who are stewards of all the things that God has blessed them with, He doesn't need to worry about their money. When we steward our life, when we steward our relationships, when we steward our minds, when we steward every good gift that God has given us, then stewardship, as we often talk about it, or the way that we are most familiar with it, will come along. What God is simply looking for is a people in a place who simply are willing to say, God, I'm yours. I don't own a thing about me. I am yours. And you just live out that story. And the more that we say to Him, everything about us is about Him, the more He can live what is about Him through us. It is the unbelievable mystery, unspeakable glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the story that we as a church family find ourselves in. It is simply the story that at this time of year, the most busy time of the year, we as a church family get to come together and ask a heavenly question, God, how are you wanting to steward your life through us? We're just asking the question. We don't have final answers. We don't know right now. We're just saying, God, this is your story. What an incredible time to come. At the very time that stewardship is at its very height in Jesus Christ, we get to be a people of God asking the great stewardship question, God, what is yours and what is mine? And if we as a people of God come to the same place and say, you know what? It is all yours and nothing is mine, then God is as free as He wants to be to show up, and we are as free as we could ever possibly be to see Him and hear Him show up. And the Christmas story just goes on and on and on and on every day. Did you think that Christmas really came in a box and you got it all out? and then when it's all over, you're going to put it all back in that box? That's not what God thought. That's what we do. That's not Christmas at all. Christmas is just saying, oh God, you've given us a gift. We receive the gift with everything that I am. I receive this gift from heaven, and I give it all back to you. And Christmas comes. That's stewardship in the Christmas story. That stewardship as a church family can come together. And as we come together, it is the same question. It's never changed. It's the same exact thing as it was with Mary and Joseph. Not one thing has changed. Does God have a people through whom he can pour out his Spirit? And in so doing, that people come back to him and say, Lord, this is not mine. This is not my life. This is your life. This is not my church. This is your church. This is not my stuff. If you want it, it's your stuff. From the parking lot to the steeple, from the nursery to the sanctuary, it is God's, every square inch of it, every single moment of it, every bit of space of it. And if we as a people practice the Christmas stewardship story, we simply come before God and say, God, this is an incredible gift you have given us. How do we give the gift to you? The more we hold on to that which God has given us, the less we'll ever have of it. And however God responds to that, wouldn't it be the coolest Christmas story ever for us together here? Just be the kind of people who've come into his presence to say, we're there. We're going to do the Mary Joseph. We're going to yield ourselves. We're going to surrender ourselves. We're going to bow ourselves. We're not going to pretend for a moment that any of the stuff is us. We could explain it all, that we could ever get it all, stuff that is way beyond us. But whatever all that stuff is, we are here for this one thing. We are here to say that we, with everything that is within us, confess that Jesus is Lord, that you are the King of this world. We invite the Spirit to work among us. And however that goes, however he moves, whatever you say, in whatever way, we as family come to live out the incredible, ongoing, never-ending story of Christmas. Do it through us. And watch the world change around you. For the last week, a number of us have had the unbelievable privilege of sitting with a number of you in chairs between the altar, the stage, the front pew, and the chrismon tree to bring our hearts to God, to just have a conversation that says, God, what's a God thing for this church? What is the God thing? What is the future? How do we receive that together, and how do we grow together as family in whatever journey you're leading us on? Whatever that comes out to be, how do we be family? Very different kinds of groups each night. But I left with the same exact thing every night. God is working in this place. I was blown away by things I heard time and time and time again, of people confessing and saying, as journey's hard, of people coming together and sharing as we did. And my heart is so full, because all you need for a story like this is somebody who's willing to say, let's clear this off a little bit. Let's clear this off a little bit. Let's not get wrapped around the axle on this. Let's just give God a manger so he can put a baby in it. Let's just give God a manger so he can put a baby in it. And then as the stewards of God's gift, you get to spend, and I get to spend, the rest of my life being a steward of heaven's greatest gift. How would you like that for Christmas? Wouldn't it be beautiful? How would you like to be part of a church family that does it together? It would be absolutely outstanding. So I invite you into the Christmas story, the story of stewardship. The gift has been given. Who will receive and hear? And as soon as the gift is received, who will turn right around and say, "Oh God, this is yours. This is yours. Never was mine. Never will be. You fill it. You give birth. You deal with everything that needs to be dealt with. You lead in it. Your name be honored." And I guarantee you, when you give God a chance to birth things and for His name to be honored, He is all over it. He's looking for a people in which He can do this story 1,000 times over. I'm going to invite you, if you would, please, to stand with me. And I'm going to pray. After I pray, I'm going to come for a few moments and I'm going to kneel, and I want to invite you, in whatever way you feel led and whatever way God speaks or works through you, you may come join me if you'd like to stand. Christmas story is so beautiful about the power of touch, God touching us. If I feel your hand on my shoulder, I won't even know who you are. I'm just grateful that there's another human being, that we are praying together as a family, that we are seeking together as a family just to discern what is God saying to us and hearing that with you. After I pray, I'll be available if you'd like to come and begin a journey with Jesus Christ. If you would like to come with a prayer request or something that's on your heart, I would love for you to come, and I would certainly be honored for us to pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty and the power of this story. Thank you for Joseph, a man who must have been for some time in such a dark place he could not believe it. But yet a man who did not forsake you for a moment, nor did he for an instant think of a way that he could disgrace Mary. The man whose hands were wrapped around the hands of Jesus in a shop. The man who taught the Son of God a trade. The man who helped provide for his family. The man who fed all of us. Father, we come. We bow before you. We thank you for the story. And as it unfolds among us, we give it right back. And we watch heaven on display, doing only what heaven can do, and a people who are stewards of the incredible gift of God. This is our prayer today, in Jesus' name. Come on, right now, as you're ready.